Okay, thanks.
So the word prakosht, it means a chamber or a section. That means a self-contained area. But perhaps a word in English that would be more accurately convey the idea would be a dimension. And so Krishna's Leela has multiple dimensions, where the variations of the Leela, different variations of the Leela are going on. And Srila Deva Goswami Prabhupada explains in Krishna Sandarbha that all Krishna and all the personalities in any one particular prakosht, they're not aware of what's going on in another one. Each set of Krishna and his set of associates in each prakosht is only in that prakosht, as far as being in that prakosht is concerned. And so the example that Srila Gurudev gave yesterday is that when Krishna, after killing Kamsa and associating with Vasudeva and Devaki and so on for the whole day and a few days, then he came back to Nanda Maharaj, to the camp, where Nanda Maharaj was sitting, feeling all neglected, because he came with his son, and now it seems like he's lost him in the crowd. So Krishna came back, and and there was a discussion whether Krishna should stay or he should go. Mm-hmm. So at that point in the Leela, that Leela split into two prakoshas, two dimensions. And in one dimension, Krishna said, "Okay, Dad, I'm coming." And he got on the bullock cart with Nanda Maharaj, and they went back to Vrindavan. And in another prakosha, he said, "Well, Vasudev Maharaj, he'll die if he loses Balaram." So immediately, because all of his other children have been killed one by one at birth by Kamsa, and now he's finally got his son back, and his son's going to go. So Balaram, he really needs to stay, otherwise Vasudev Maharaj will go. And Balaram said, "I can't be without Krishna for a second." So Krishna said, "I'll stay with Balaram, and we'll be here for a few days, and then surely we'll return." So in one prakosht, it was all happy, and Krishna went back to Vrindavan. And in another prakosht, Krishna said, "We'll stay for a few days." He ended up, you know, not coming back for quite a long time. So that's the meaning of...
And then in another prakosht, Krishna never left Vrindavan.
In the Aprakata Leela, in the unmanifest pastimes in the spiritual world, he never leaves Vrindavan. But Srila Sanatan Goswami in Brihat Bhagavatamrita, he's described how in the Aprakata Leela, he's described one prakosht where Akrura comes, takes Krishna away, everyone laments, he goes, but then he comes back. And then the pastimes go on, after some time, again he comes and takes him, and like this, and he hams again and again. Sanatan Goswami described this. So we can say that the prakosht in which Krishna got on the chariot and went back to Vrindavan would have been the prakosht that Sanatan Goswami was seeing, that Krishna was leaving and then coming back.
You understand? Oh, I see. And
understand?
Then,
yeah.
And so what? It's going on. So it's going. It gives up. It's like a loop.
Yeah.
Huh?
Yeah. Because it's always somewhat different every time. But that one's like a loop. And that's described in Brihat Bhagavatamrita. I've not seen that particular prakosh described anywhere else. So there are these specialities in the Aprakata Leela, in the spiritual world. There are so many prakosh called Mantrapasana Maya Leela, the pit or the seat of the Mantrapasana Maya Leela. And these pits, they exist eternally. And Krishna doesn't move. He stays in one place, and there's just one Leela going on in that one place forever. That's called Mantrapasana Maya Leela.
What's the translation of that?
Mantrapasana Maya Leela pit means the pit, or the seat, if you will, the prakosht, which is attained by mantramaya upasana, by the expression of devotion, or the upasana, the worship, which is performed through mantra. And for example, Agopa mantra is the mantra to attain the Mantrapasana Maya Leela pit, the eternally existing chamber, where there's a scene, particular scene going on, and that's described in the verse Divyad Brindaranya Kalpudrumada Srimat Ratnagara Singhasanasto Sisi Radha Srila Govinda Deva Prastalibi Sevimano Smarmi. Radha and Krishna seated together, Radha Govinda seated together under a desire tree in Vrindavan, accepting the service of their Sakis. It doesn't go anywhere. It's a Mantrapasana Maya Leela pit. And so what happens is, when Guru gives Diksha, he gives a mantra to connect you with that lila pit. This mantra will take you to that lila pit. And so once one realizes the mantra, one is now situated in that lila pit. And when one's realization of that lila pit is mature, what happens is Radha Krishna will get up from that place and go somewhere else. In other words, the mantra Pashnamaya lila pit will lead into another area of the pastime that was not available by the chanting of mantra, and that's called Swarasikhi lila.
Mm-hmm.
The Swarasikhi lila pit. Now they're moving from place to place. That's also called Astakali lila or Nitya lila. So the mistake that many devotees do is they're trying to chant and meditate on the Swarasikhi lila and try to enter it. You can, because that's not the point of entry. The point of entry is the mantra Pashnamaya lila pit, which is attained through mantra. And that's why in our sampradaya the guru gives Gopal mantra and the devotee chants and remembers, he realizes that, and then from there spontaneously he's able to participate in Astakali lila. And where there's some sahajavad, then there's then people think that they can directly go to the Swarasikhi lila by trying to remember it by force.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the difference between the authentic sampradaya and those who have lost the way. Somewhere.
Doesn't the Gopal Mantra have all three aspects of Madan Mohan, Govinda, and Gopinath in it? So
yeah, it means that it gives one an opportunity to remember Krishna as Madan Mohan, Govinda, and Gopinath.
But its essence, the Gopal Mantra, is the Divya Vrindaranyakova, Srila Rupa Goswami's,
yes. Yes.
Sambandha's Prayojan. No.
That's
Abhideya.
Adidevata mantra, technically. Because Abhideya means the process.
Did you say Sambandha Abhideya?
No, Abhideya.
Yes.
Adidevata. Because to meditate on this is our process, and it will lead us to the Prayojan. You can't go directly to the Prayojan, one has to go through the process of Abhideya. Abhideya means the process.
But then someone may say, well then, you know, according to this, we should meditate on Krishna's Gopi Vastra, that lila, because...
Vastra Harana is Naimitik lila from the Prakat lila. It is not a Nitya lila from Astakali lila. And these gopis who were worshipping Katayani, they are not Nitya Siddha. They were Sadhan Siddha, Rishichari, Munichari gopis.
But the point is, our aim and object is that lila pit.
No, that will be depends on the stage of the devotee. If the devotee's diksha is not mature, that will be his goal. If he's realized that, then he will meditate on the Astakali lila. But it will start to arise spontaneously, because Jiva Goswami gives an example, just like a river flows. And then it comes to a very wide section that looks like a lake. Like if you go to, the Sea of Galilee, the River Jordan flows in, and then it gets rid of it, and then it flows out again. So where the river is narrow, it's flowing very quickly and moving. When it comes to a very broad expanse, it seems to be in one place. It's not going anywhere. It looks just like a lake, like still water. So in this way, the mantra Pashnamaya lila pit doesn't move. It's not going anywhere. So that's like a lake. And the Swarasikhi lila is like a river, because it's moving quickly and it goes from place to place. But actually, it's the same river. In this example, it's the same river. So the two lilas are the same. But there's still some speciality in them. But the most important thing to understand is, just like if you want to go surf online, first you have to log on. Then you can. If you don't log on, you can't surf. So in the same way, the mantra Pashnamaya lila is like the place where the guru allows the disciple to log on. After that, he can join in all the lilas.
He's good.
Don't try to jump in all the lilas. Log on first.
I mean, I've never thought of putting it that way.
That's actually what diksha is, really, technically. And arti is the same thing. When we do Gaur Artik or Jai Jai Radha Krishna Yugalamala, these are both meditations on that mantra Pashnamaya lila pit to make an impression on us. Because there's a mantra Pashnamaya lila pit in Vrindavan, and also in Navadvip. So in Gaur Arti, we meditate on the mantra Pashnamaya lila pit in the yoga pit in Navadvip first, and that by that we can become free from offenses and be inspired. And then by the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, then at the end of Gaur Arti we sing Jai Jai Radha Krishna Yugal Milan, which is the description of the, in other words, our meditation then goes to in the direction of accessing the Vrindavan yoga path. So the process of diksha, the process of deity worship, the process of attending arti every day, they're all connected with the achievement of the same goal, that is, log on to the lila first. Mm-hmm. After that, everything will start to manifest spontaneously.
I have a question. It's more a kind of immediate practical question. You were there when Gurudev gave me diksha mantras. Mm-hmm. So he told me to meditate on Radha and Krishna sitting together, on Radharani feeding Krishna betel nut. Thanks. Yeah. I've got my hands full.
Yeah, I can distribute if you want. But
thank you.
A bit shy. So.
Can I just do
sorry. Thank you.
Just one grand.
So the scene that Gurudev described there, mm-hmm, is the scene that is briefly described in that verse, Divyad Brindaranya Kalpamrita.
Where is that verse?
These are three verses from Chaitanya Charitamrita, and this is the middle one that describes the Abhideya Tattva, the process. And you'll find it in the beginning of your sangbook, because it's one of the verses that among all those the pranam verses and invocation verses before the sangbook begins.
Yes.
And the three verses of Sambandha, Abhideya, and Prajna, they're there in a row. It's the middle one.
Okay, just
but
tell me
that
again.
You can find it in Chaitanya Charitamrita also.
Yeah.
Divyad Brindaranya Kalpadrumadaha Srimat Ratnagara Singhasanasto Sri Sri Radha Srila Govinda Devo Prashtalibi Savior Mano Smarami. Smarami means I remember how the dear Sakis of Radha and Krishna serving as they're seated on a throne beneath a desire tree in Vrindavan.
Now, I've just got, whenever I try and create that vision in my mind, mm-hmm, it's almost impossible for me to enter into that.
Mm-hmm.
It's like I'm looking at something through the bottom of a beer glass. You, mm-hmm, know what I mean? It's so difficult to see that.
Surely.
You know, so I've got a nice picture of Krishna in my room where I chant, and I sometimes just look at that instead. But that's not what Gurudev told me to
do. Well, you know, the painting Gurudev to help us manifested through Shamarani painting of Radha and Krishna sitting on the throne in the Vrindavan,
yeah,
the Seva Kunj painting. So that's ideal.
Yeah.
Or otherwise the deities, I know the deities are standing and not sitting, but it serves the same purpose.
Okay.
You know, when they do a backdrop for the deities of Radha and Krishna, you know, they always paint a desire tree right behind them.
Okay.
Going over, it's meant to be, the deities are meant to be that, the deities of Radha Krishna that we worship are meant to be that exact prakosht, which is manifest by the Gopal Mantra.
Yeah.
And that's why you can't go on the altar and serve the deities unless you've been initiated into that mantra. These are the archan that we do and so on, these are all supporting elements to make the diksha go on and become mature.
Yeah. Now when I'm chanting the whole Gayatri mantra, all the mantras, you know, initially there's what's the first mantra, what's it called?
Brahma Gayatri.
Brahma Gayatri. Then there's Guru Pranams, mm-hmm, Guru Gayatri.
Mm-hmm.
Is it appropriate to think of Gurudev in a gopi form serving,
yes,
Radha and Krishna while,
yes,
I'm chanting,
yes,
Guru Gayatri?
Actually, all the mantras, it's like a painting. And in the painting, there are so many details there.
Mm-hmm.
So all the mantras, they're actually like a meditation on one painting, just as an analogy. But each mantra focuses on a different part of the same painting.
Yeah.
So if you, for example, in Gopa Mantra, you meditate on Radha Krishna and they're surrounded by their sakyas and accepting the service of their sakyas, so one of them is your guru.
Yes.
So it's like, that scene is there, but in the Guru Mantra, you're turning your attention towards one person in that scene, which is your own guru.
Yes. Yeah, yeah. And then when it comes to the Gaura Gayatri and Gaura Pranams and the Gaura, mm-hmm, Gayatri, I tend to think of Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda,
mm-hmm,
and Kirtan, another one of Shamarani's paintings.
Mm-hmm.
Is that still appropriate?
For the Gaura Mantra and Gaura Gayatri, it's a meditation on the Navadvip Yoga Peet, and that's the scene that's described. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur has taken that scene and described it in the Gaura Arti. That you have, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is sitting on a golden throne, and he has Nityananda on one side and Gadadhara on another. Advaita Acharya's offering prayers, and Shiva Thakur is holding a chhatra, an umbrella, and then they're surrounded by their various associates, Ramana, the Rice Warp, Damodaran, the Goswamis and so on, going on a lower platform. And so that's the Mayapur, or the Navadvip Yoga Pit, as described in the Dhyan mantras for the Gaura mantra and Gaura Gayatri. There are verses that in the Shastra, specifically I'm quoting here, the Sri Gaura Radha Govinda Archan Smaran Padati by Janachandra Goswami. And there's a description of the Navadvip Yoga Pit there. And Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur has taken that and put it in simple Bengali language in the form of our Gaura Arti that we do every day to make the same impression.
Okay.
You need a painting.
So, actually, I've given a lecture on the meaning of Gaura Arti and the Radha Krishna Arti and how they're related to mantra and the Upasamai Lila Pits and so on. And it's on my website if you want to read it.
Yeah, I'll write that down, but I just wanted to continue with it, if you don't mind, that sort of line of questioning. When it comes to the Gopal mantra, then I can go back to the vision that Gurudev told me to meditate on, and then at the end, the
Kam Gayatri.
Then what, just the same?
It's the same, because...
But it's different, isn't it? Isn't it meditating on the Supreme Lord's beauty? Is
Because when I'm meditating, my mind tends to go to a particular picture of Krishna playing his flute, you know, the threefold bending form. But I don't know if that's just me speculating. It's just where my mind takes
it. It's okay, but the mantra and everything is mantra gayatri, mantra gayatri, guru mantra, guru gayatri, gora mantra, gora gayatri, gopa mantra, kam gayatri. And so they are they're in sets, and they're both for meditating on the same scene. But one is I surrender myself, and then the other one is please reveal to me. So they're two slightly different moods. One is because realization can't come by any straining of our own. It comes by revelation only. So mantra always ends with swaha or namaha, I surrender myself. And Gayatri always ends with Prachodayat, please reveal yourself to me.
Mm-hmm.
And so the two are always complementary. And they're not describing different scenes, they're describing same scene. But one speciality between Gopal Mantra and Kam Gayatri is that the Gopal Mantra will reveal the scene. And once that's revealed, then the Kam Gayatri will really come into its own. In the sense that the Kam Gayatri will invest one with the mood in which you can participate in those services. And so, you know, the Kam Gayatri especially inspires Gopi Bhav. Because we should never do anything from the point of view of an audience. Like if you say, well, this Kam Gayatri is to meditate on the beauty of Krishna. But always someone has to be meditating. So here, who sees Krishna like Kamdev? Do his friends see him like Kamdev? No.
Right.
Does his mother see him like Kamdev? So if you're thinking of Krishna like Kamdev, then you must be a...
Gopi.
Right, yeah. So it's actually... And the putting one in the situation of looking at Krishna through their eyes.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So it's still my heart.
Yeah. It's not like, well, Krishna's there, and that's looking in from this angle and that angle. It's to put you in one particular perspective from the mood of the gopis. And, you know, Krishna's Ananga. Ananga means, it's a name for Kamdev, because Lord Shiva burnt his limbs. Ananga means no limbs.
Mm.
Because Kamdev, Cupid, the demigod, tried to disturb the mind of Lord Shiva.
Mm.
So Lord Shiva became angry, and fire came out from his third eye and burnt Kamdev, Cupid, to ashes.
Mm.
But lo and behold, he wasn't dead. He just didn't have a form anymore, didn't have a body. And he's still alive and well and living here and there, dare say, in the minds of me, I can tell you, some of us, others as well. And you can't see him, you can't see his arms and legs, but he's there. And he's up to his business, making everyone become attracted to someone else, or anyone else even. And so that's the activity of Kamdev. Now, the gopis feel Krishna's like that, because they can't get away from him. Hmm? They're seeing him for a moment, even if they go away. But he's there in their mind all the time, playing around, attracting, smiling them, winking at them, calling them, when they're in their homes, at night when they're asleep, all the time.
So that's why he's called Kamdev.
Yeah, and especially this aspect of Kamdev, to think of him as Ananga, Tano Ananga, Prachodayat. So all of these wonderful moods
think
of Prajagopis.
As Ananga? You mean, what do you, without limb?
Just all pervasive.
What do you mean by
that? It means that you can't get him out of your mind.
He's just all pervading.
Right. Because, trying to understand.
You know Sanskrit, we don't, so what do you mean when you relate Kamadev, Krishna as Kamadev?
Ananga is a name for Kamadev.
Acha.
And here, we're thinking of Krishna as that name. See, each of these names, though there are three names of Kamadev in this mantra. Pushpabadi, Ananga, and Kamadev. These are three names of Kamadev. But they describe Kamadev's qualities. Now, a really important thing to remember here is that in this world, as conditioned souls, there's a demigod called Cupid who disturbs us, like he tried to disturb Lord Shiva, but probably with more success. Now,
you have more success with us than Lord Shiva.
Yeah. So, the thing is that God and the gopis are his eternal associates, but because it's Naravat Leela, it's human-like. They don't know that. The Brijbasis think that they're conditioned souls. And Krishna thinks he's a son of Nanda Maharaj, Lord Narayan's god. You see? And so when Krishna feels attraction for gopis, the gopis feel attraction to Krishna, then who do they blame for that? Who do the gopis blame? Is the gopis like, hey, it's not my fault. I mean, I never really wanted to be involved with this boy, and you know, they have all the, but it's that demigod Kamdev, he's so notorious, like that, and he's attracting my mind and making me get involved against my better judgment and against Dharma and everything. And so though no one has ever seen Kamdev, when Brajagopis see Krishna coming and they look at him, it appears to them as if the incorporeal demigod, Kamdev, has manifested this form, and it's the son of Nanda Maharaj. And he comes in their mind and disturbs them all the time, even when he's not physically there, so he's a nun, and so on. So all of these various moods of seeing Krishna through the eyes of the Brajagopis, completely absorbed in Naravat Leela, without any Aishwarya Bhav whatsoever, and the ways in which externally and internally they're disturbed by him, against their better judgment and so on. All of this is all included in this one mantra.
Yes.
And that's why the Gopal mantra establishes Sambandhigyan, gives one a vision of that mantra prasnamaya yoga pits to establish one's relationship somewhat, but then the Kamgayatri will kick in and start to invest one with all the moods related to one's eternal identity as a Brajagopi and how one sees Krishna and so on.
Right.
And that's the relationship between the two mantras in a subtle sense.
Yes.
What does this name of Kamadev as Pushpabanaya mean?
Well, the name is Pushpaban.
Pushpaban.
The suffix anaya is the suffix aya at the end is the dative case in Sanskrit. It means unto.
Pushpaban is flowers.
Well, you know that if someone would shoot you with an arrow, you would feel it.
Yeah.
You would really feel it.
Kamadev uses arrows.
So Kamadev uses arrows, but his arrows are flower arrows. And what the five arrows are, different acharyas have described them in different ways. Beginning with the, Bakul, Amra, Malati, Madhavi, and Molasri. These are the five different kinds of flowers. And each arrow has a different effect. One is a bewildering, one arrow bewilders, one arrow attracts, one arrow brings one under control, one arrow takes all of one's energy, one is heating, and so on. These are the different effects.
What is Molasri?
But specifically, Molasri is the name of a kind of flower.
He wants to know which one it is.
Which one?
That's the last one. Because there are five components to the syllable kling. Kala inga. And so each one of them is one of the five arrows. And then that's expanded because the bij expands as the rest of the mantra. It's expanded directly in the name Pushpabhana.
Who's this now?
Sometimes it's just you have just the face though, the smile.
I'm speaking about the arrows. How do these arrows come? The arrows come from Krishna, the way that he smiles, the way that he glances, and so on. And so from those expressions and Krishna's facial expressions and movements, then gopis feel that the flower arrow of Kamdev has come and struck them. So we were just talking about the type of arrow and the effect of the arrow, but from where is the arrow launched? That's the face and the mannerisms of Krishna.
And as far as Krishna's flute, how does that tie in?
What is
Krishna's flute?
How
does that tie in? How does that tie in?
The flute.
It's
also described that the sound of Krishna's, the kling is the actual sound of Krishna's flute that attracts. But everything is in the sound of his flute. It's the transformed nectar of his lips. The nectar of his lips enters into the flute and goes into the ears of gopis. But from hearing, they have an experience. Like a direct experience of Krishna's spurti. Krishna's fully present in his flute. And sometimes they may experience it as Krishna himself, that he's personally calling them. And at other times they may feel that the flute itself is another personality who's taunting them and saying, hey, it's really nice here on Krishna's lips.
Shame about it.
Let it go.
No need to open.
Maharaj,
you're not allowed to speak after prasad.
Oh, yeah, after prasad. Yeah. Okay, I'll ask a question later.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Do I lose my eyes?
No, should Gangan do great?
Yeah. You can become 30 years younger.
Really?
Yeah, you'll be like a 7-year-old boy. On your head, we'll grow back.
You really exercise for the separate program or when I'm going to?
What
is it? 20 minutes? No, 20 minutes. It's not that long. Hey, come to see you.
So, Madhav Maharaj, time for a quick question.
Yeah.
I didn't explain myself very well, the Gurudev, but what I was asking him was, is it possible for my daughter Tulsi to renew her vows? She took initiation with her mother when she was very young, and she can't remember. She was only 8.
So when there is initiation, then...
So that's okay. Is it possible also that Gurudev could give her maybe another middle name, just to help to give her some strong impression that she's got a new...
Is it his birth name, Tulsi?
Yeah.
Okay,
she can give him a middle name or something.
Huh? Okay. See, you're the oil-in-own machine. You're only chanting two good love, six good love. Then you have no idea why you're telling all these things.
So, will I come and see you in Bhajan?
Yes, sure.
Yeah, thanks. Okay, I'll be outside.
He's telling Mahaprabhu. He says Mahaprabhu.
too many words.
He's telling you know Mahaprabhu, like I am telling that Dhir Krishna Prabhu, Madhuprata Prabhu, so he is addressing you Mahaprabhu Prabhu.
I know it's
Mahaprabhu Das.
Just call me Das.
Okay, so you're here for 5 minutes?
Yeah, I'm not going. I'll wait outside for you.
Are you here for 10 minutes or?
Yeah, I'll wait outside for 5-10 minutes. No problem.
I need to this recording.
Yes.
So
you got it.
So how do I do it? I've got to.